I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, my Can I Just Tell You commentary. I'm looking back to when I first read To Kill a Mockingbird. The book was published 50 years ago this past weekend. But first, we're going to focus now, as we so often do, on the American educational system, and today on the high number of black students who are suspended each year from school. According to a Department of Education report, some 40% of students who received out-of-school suspensions are black. In Tennessee, the racial disparity in suspensions has been even more extreme. There, black students are four times more likely to be suspended than other students. The Nashville Metro School Board has called the statistics sad but true. We're welcoming three guests today to help us talk about this issue in Nashville and around the country. Joining us from Nashville is Maury Nation. He's an associate professor of human and organizational development at Vanderbilt University. His clinical research focuses on preventing violence and bullying among school-aged children, and he's worked with the Nashville public school system to try to counter the high suspension rates, particularly of African-American youth. Also with us is David Martin. He's principal at Gerry Middle School in Nashville, where a large number of black students have been suspended in the past few years, and a large number of white students as well, it has to be said. Also, joining us on the phone from his office in New York is a regular guest on our program, Pedro Noguera. He's professor in the Steinhardt School of Culture, Education, and Human Development at New York University. And I welcome you all, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Principal Martin, I'm going to start with you. In 2007, your school suspended 60% of its African-American male students. Why do you think that is?
I think a couple of things were going on at that particular point in time. One was leadership in the building had been through a roller coaster. There had been, I believe, six principals within 10 years. And the instruction that was happening in the school was not up to par. So I believe it was a culmination of a perfect storm in terms of teaching and leadership in the building.
There were the high number of white students who were also suspended, I have to say, in that year, according to the numbers that I saw. But the rate was higher for black male students than any other group. And I wonder why you think that might be.
I think there are some cultural issues that needed to be addressed in the school and still need to be addressed in the school, actually, regarding the ways in which teachers perceive cultural differences and cultural reactions that are based not only in ethnicity but also in poverty.
Give me an example.
Students who are trying to be successful in a community that is fairly violent, filled with gang activity, crime, drugs, prostitution, have to learn a set of skills to survive on the street that don't necessarily translate well into appropriate school behavior. And if you have teachers working with those students who don't have a clear understanding of the differences in which they have to behave and misperceive aggression or defiance or disrespect, that often results in a referral that may not be necessary.
Professor Nation, what's your take on this?
Well, I'm glad that you put it in the context of a national discussion, because I think this is something that urban districts around the country have struggled with. And the easy approach is to say that it's just racial bias, that teachers are picking on black kids. And I think Principal Martin is correct when he says that it's much more complex than that. On the whole, teachers want to help students and definitely don't operate from the perspective of an explicit bias. However, they may be unfamiliar with some of the behaviors that kids are displaying, especially when they come from environments that are very different from the environments that the teachers are familiar with.
Do you buy Principal Martin's point that some of the black male students in particular are displaying mm-hmm. certain behavior that they have learned as necessary for them outside of school, and that inside school it clashes with the teacher's expectations of appropriate behavior? Do you think that that's true?
Well, one of the things that if you look at the students that Principal Martin's school is serving, as well as a lot of the schools that serve a lot of poor urban neighborhoods, is that the kids in those neighborhoods live pretty complex lives. They may be homeless. You know, even if they're not living in a shelter, they may be living in a hotel. You also have students who, for whatever reason, are primarily responsible for taking care of themselves after school. And that requires a skill set that may not be expected among teachers who are teaching. We have to remember we're talking about fairly young kids, 9, 10, 11 years old. If suburban kids are your benchmark, some of those behaviors may look unusual and, in fact, problematic.
Yeah, but you know what? We're talking about differences in suspension rates in the same schools. I mean, one school in Nashville suspended 58% of its black male students, but just 10% of its white male students. Another suspended 58% of black boys, only 13% of white boys. I mean, are their circumstances really that different in the same school?
Well, I think two things to take into consideration. Number one, if you look at the national statistics, boys have always been much more likely to be suspended than girls. I think the other thing is that the potential for a black male student's behavior to be perceived as threatening when it's unfamiliar, there may be some implicit bias. I guess the thing that I want to guard against is, as I said, the simple explanation that, you know, teachers are just out to get black students, because I that's not what we've seen as we work with the local school.
Professor Nogueira, what is your take on this question? First of all, do you think this is a national issue? And what's your sense of why this might be? And is this, in fact, a problem? I mean, some people will say the disparity on its face is a problem. And some people might not even agree with that.
No, it's certainly a problem. It is a national issue. And what's important to keep in mind is that the racial disparities in who's disciplined mirrors the achievement gap. That is, that the same kids who are least likely to do well in school are also the kids who are getting a disproportionate amount of discipline in school. And to show you the insanity of it, we typically discipline them by denying them school time. So we're actually making the academic problem, which is at the root of the problem, worse. Because we're putting kids out of school to go watch TV at home.
What's your sense of what the problem is? Professor Nation says he doesn't think it's as simple as teachers picking on black boys. What's your take on it?
Well, that could be the case. I wouldn't dismiss that as a possibility. But I would say that kids who lack a clear sense of direction are going to be more likely to get into trouble. And they're going to be more distracted. Schools that are not well run are going to produce problematic behavior. So you have to look at the overall climate in the school. You have to look at leadership. You have to look at the quality of instruction going on if you're going to solve a problem like this. When you go to a school and you find this is suspending the same students over and over again, it's the clearest indication there could be that it doesn't work.
You know, Pedro Nogueira, you've also had a theory on this that I've heard you talk about, which is that your argument is that in the past few years, in part, the emphasis on standardized testing and getting certain scores puts a lot of pressure on teachers to get kids out of their classroom who are distracting, and also just to get them off the premises for testing purposes. Because if they're not included in the student population at the testing time, their scores don't count. I mean, is that, am I accurately
I think, given the sense of what you think might be true? There are kids whose behavior is so troubling, so problematic, that they do need to be removed. They need to be in a different learning environment. But we need to know who those kids are. We need to know what's going on with them and make sure they get the help they need. However, we also need to be aware that some schools, because of the pressure to raise graduation rates, raise test scores, will look to find ways to remove children that will bring test scores down. And this is one of the inadvertent consequences of No Child Left Behind. And I think that this is really something we all have to be watching very closely.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the high number of black students suspended each year, a disproportionately large number of students relative to their presence in the population. We're focusing on Nashville, but we're talking about this as a national issue. My guests are Principal David Martin of Jerry Baxter Middle School in Nashville, Professor Maury Nation of Vanderbilt University, and Pedro Nogueira of New York University. Principal Martin, can you just tell me what are some of the ways that you've tried to bring the suspension rate down?
Not only tried, but have. We've reduced the suspension and expulsion rate by over 50% for the last 3 years running. So we've had significant success in getting kids to stay in school. I absolutely agree that putting kids out on the street when they are causing discipline problems is not doing us any good. We have to find ways to address their specific needs in the building. And so we do that by a multi-layered approach. We don't just assume that we're going to teach rules and they're going to behave. What we do is adopt overall programs for the school, and we've chosen school-wide positive behavioral supports for our school. We work in partnership with other agencies, for example, Alignment Nashville, to make sure that the supports are in place, specifically designed for any needs that students may have, or families for that matter, in the community, and try to address those needs if they are barriers to their education. And then in addition to that, we work with our staff, working on cultural differences, working on training. For example, when we ask teachers to differentiate between what is disrespect and what is defiance, they're very unclear about that, often don't understand the difference. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a student and I throw a piece of paper down and say, this work is stupid, I'm not going to do it, is that disrespect or is that defiance? Making those distinctions are important, particularly when kids can be overly aggressive. What Dr. Nation said was very, very true of my students. Many of them are the most resilient person in their family. So they can come to school and be on their very last straw. And if a teacher asks them to do something fairly simple, it may be beyond a middle school's capability at that point in time to do that. So we work on all those levels to address the issues.
Pedro Noguera, what about you? What are some of the strategies that you would like to see school systems employ? And Professor Nation, I want to hear from you too, since you've also been doing this work.
They have to have a comprehensive approach. They have to focus on things like character. You have to teach kids values like respect, like courtesy, like kindness, like empathy. And that has to be reinforced by everyone in the school. You actually have to have every adult on the staff reinforcing the same kinds of behavioral expectations. And you actually have to respond very quickly to minor offenses. The kids get the very clear sense that this is a place that does not tolerate bad behavior.
Like what? Give me an example.
Oh, so name-calling. As soon as there's name-calling, as soon as there's disrespect, you respond. And then the punishment has got to be something that's meaningful to kids. You don't get to go out to eat lunch with your friends today. You have to eat lunch with the principal. You have to stay after school to do your work, get your work done. That is, the punishment for not doing your work should be more work. The punishment for not for a disrespecting a teacher should be a formal apology combined with some service to that teacher. We are producing kids who learn no responsibility because the consequences our schools utilize don't reinforce any values. All they reinforce is the sense that we don't care about you, so we'll put you on the street. Mm. And the clearest evidence it's not working is the fact that you have schools like the one we're hearing about now who are suspending more and more kids, and they're still dysfunctional places where kids are not learning.
I'm not sure having lunch with Principal Martin would be a punishment, but I take your point that it needs to be a consequence for that, which is exactly what many parents do at home. But Professor Nation, a final thought from you about what strategies you think are working or should be employed or should be considered?
Many of these kids don't have strong relationships with adults. So to also build a place where kids who are struggling actually have a place where they can share those struggles and have their needs attended to. And that's one of the big things about childhood that kids from really poor environments often miss.
Pedro Noguera, I'm going to give you the last word here to kind of broaden this out for us because you've been looking at this on a national basis. What would you like to see? And is this being done?
There are several high-performing inner-city schools that serve kids from very disadvantaged backgrounds that are safe, that are well organized, where suspension is not an issue because the kids are all focused on learning. We need to learn from these schools.
Yes.
And because they show us the problem is not the children. The problem is the inability of the adults to work with the children and provide them with very clear expectations on how to conduct themselves in school.
And Professor Nation, I have the feeling you want to have a last word, so
yeah,
please go
for it. I do want to just add that Nashville data became public, but this really is a nationwide issue. I challenge some of the people in some of the urban cores around the country to examine what's going on in their own schools. I imagine if they really examine the data, they'll find that these types of percentages are not unique. And I appreciate Principal Martin's willingness to engage in a process. And the data over the last couple of years has really supported that process.
That was Maury Nation, who's a professor at Vanderbilt University. We also heard from Pedro Noguera, who's a professor at New York University, and David Martin, who is principal of Jerry Baxter Middle School in Nashville. And I thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.